listening to the Digicast from thedigitel.com.
Digicast number 20, the podcast from thedigitel.com, from the air-conditioned offices of 125 Cannon Street. Ken Hawkins is with you, holding a bit of paper. Why have you just stuck that to me?
Because I found it underneath the chair.
Ken's just stuck a sticky piece of paper onto me. Thanks, Ken. How are you? What are you doing this week?
It's good. And that says not to set yourself on fire. So it's probably a wise idea. Probably says it in Spanish, though.
Thanks very much. Yeah, and French. That's French, not Spanish. Okay. Basically, it's the sticker from the chair saying do not set yourself on fire.
Right.
Useful words of advice. We're going to keep this short, sharp, and simple because I should say that it's Wednesday. This podcast will probably come out on the Thursday, maybe the Friday, and I've got to head down to John's Island, back to near where I live, because it's the Women's Green Build Week this week. Can you tell us about that, Ken?
Well, basically, it's a... I don't know, Jeff, why don't you tell me about
a whole bunch of women build a house. Well, you know... It's part of the Sea Habitat Humanity setup, but it's with a female slant, and they're trying to get as many female volunteers down there this week. And I should be heading off on my bike there shortly, raising up a sweat, doing a podcast live from there. So what I'm going to do is we're going to talk to you now, then I'm going to go off down there, and then I'm going to come back and do the second bit. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're biking down there?
Yeah, and no way are we going to record the two bits here together and then edit them in between. I'm actually going to record them separately. Okay. So top stories from the last time we podcasted. CFC Rave in the Rotunda got us our most hits ever of 38 million views, and our servers crashed.
It wasn't our most hits ever, but it was a substantial, about 4,000 people viewed that, which was, it's kind of exciting. But there was about 1,500 college kids all got together and raved in the Rotunda. It was the second time, so it's not shocking because it's been done before.
Yeah, so some people were saying it's not a flash mob if it's as organized and a repeat performance as to what happened before. Would you agree with that?
Here's a question. I haven't done any like reading up on this, but it seemed like any flash mob has to have some level of organizing. You know what I mean? Am I mistaken on this?
I think it's just the fact that, I don't know, it wasn't... They were copying the idea from another university. You know, it had been done before, and it wasn't kept very well secret. There was a lot of promotion about it.
Yeah, well, it was on Facebook, so it's not like it wasn't like sent around by email. So yeah, I think, and it doesn't help that the president of the student body organized it and got in touch with the college officials, so they had safety on site, which definitely makes it less underground for sure.
But it was fun all the same, and so much so that I made two, not one, but count them, two videos about it. The CDC confirms SC cases as swine flu was a big story from last week, but since then we've actually definitely got lots of... How many swine flu victims are we up to now in the Lowcountry again?
Well, in the Lowcountry, there's only one confirmed case, and that was just confirmed last night. So... I think in all there's 17 confirmed swine flu cases. It feels like what the, I guess, general feeling is now is that it, you know, oh my God, there were cases in Newbury. Are we all going to die? But then nothing happened. And so now everyone's kind of like, oh, so.
Is there not a certain amount of overreaction though? Because I read a stat that, you know, about 10,000 people a year die from regular flu. And so far only like 9 people have died from this particular strain. So surely it's just the media hyping it out of proportion.
Yes, but I think that was also the intent, was to get it overhyped, because then everyone's taking, you know, it's better too much precaution than too little precaution type thing, you know? So maybe the hype has done its trick. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, on the CDC website, the number of cases is still growing. I think they're up to 630 confirmed cases. And you have to remember, when it's confirmed case, that means they've actually taken a sample from somebody, sent it to the CDC. The CDC does on test, confirms it. So there's probably a lot more people that have it than, you know, the people that actually think, oh, this might be swine flu. I'm going to go to the doctor. The doctor's going to take a biopsy. And, you know, so it's, you know.
Could you just tell me what the CDC stands for, please?
Centers for Disease Control.
Thank you very much. SC attorney threatens action against Craigslist, and not the City Paper, which was our amusing take on that. Just divulge the details on that one briefly.
Yeah, I mean, the City Paper, I mean, those are all legal activities. But, I mean, you look at, like, the Post and Courier's classifieds and the personal sections, and they're not outright, you know, advertising illicit services, but it's all but implied. But I think the real thing here is this goes back to all sorts of, like, you know, classic internet things. They're going after Craigslist when it's not Craigslist that's doing anything wrong. These people are basically buying sheets of paper by going on Craigslist, and they're writing out, hey, look at this pornography and, you know, all this stuff. Craigslist hasn't done anything wrong. It's the people using the site that are wrong. So you should be trying to prosecute the users, not the company making the paper.
That story is on our site, along with everything else from the last 7 days, at thedigitel.com/popular/week. We touched on Cinco de Mayo, which came, well, the party was on Friday the 1st, even though Cinco de Mayo was actually on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday. We're all going off to the Hippodrome tonight, the new Terrace Hippodrome downtown. So by the time this podcast comes out, it will be open. Maybe one of us will win the free ticket for life.
Yeah. Where's the word Hippodrome actually come from originally? It's like an old Greek amphitheater? Is that like...
To me, the Hippodrome is a very seedy tourist trap London nightclub in the middle of, you know, where like busty ladies dance around. And there's this really old, crusty old 70-year-old dude. It's like, imagine the English version of, who's the guy here that owns the Playboy Mansion?
Playboy Mansion? Oh, Hugh Hefner, yeah.
Right, imagine like the British version of Hugh Hefner runs a nightclub in London with busty ladies and exuberant expensive drinks. There you go, Hippodrome.
They might have should have modeled it after that. Might have done a little bit better.
But we will be down there tonight watching Star Trek for 30 hours straight. Honestly, we will. Okay, that's our what happened in the last 7 days real quick. So I'm going to hop on my bike, cycle down to the Green Build, and I'll be back in about an hour's time. Is that okay? I'll see you in an hour's time, Ken.
Pedal away there.
By the magic of the editing booth / suite, we've found ourselves transferred, I think it's about 5 miles down the road to John's Island, where I'm looking at two women. One's wearing a hat, the other one isn't. And I don't mean a regular hat, I mean like a hard hat. Hang on a second. Did you get how hard that was? That is our green scene / beach reporter, Nikki Seibert. Hi, Nikki.
Hello, Jeff.
Where the heck... are we? Just in 100 words or less, describe where we are.
We are at Brownswood Place on John's Island in a Habitat for Humanity neighborhood.
And set next to you is the lovely Krista Lewis, who's the Advancement and Communications Manager. And I read that off my cue card perfectly. the ACM for the Sea Island Habitat for Humanity. Good morning, Krista.
Good morning. Welcome to Women Build. You're kind of out of place, though, as a man here.
I am like the only man. Actually, no, there's a couple of sturdy guys laying a pipe in the background. Every week, I should say, for the Digicast, we try and go somewhere with a good bit of ambient background noise. This is the best location for ambient background noise. We've got
pure construction.
It
right
is.
Here.
We've got people banging. We've got people shouting. They're laying pipes. What is this? I'd call this a little JCB digger in England. What would you call it?
A ditch witch.
A ditch witch. I love that.
A ditch witch.
Oh, a ditch witch.
You just make stuff up.
It magically casts a spell and creates
a trench. Sure.
In the soil. It's really good. So if there's any kind of big noises or explosions or drilling or, you know, people...
Hopefully no explosions.
...crying for help that somebody's hand gets chopped off, then you'll know that it's authentic. So here's the really obvious question, Krista. What's going on here today? I know that, but just tell our listener.
Of course. This is our 9th annual Women Build. So it's where we do a house by women for 1 week out of the year, where it leads up to Mother's Day each year. So we had 206 slots for women this year.
And is that tied into Mother's Day, and that's why there's the female / woman theme?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you ever get any guys complaining that they can't get in on the action, and that's a little bit, you know, sexist?
You know, we never had until this year. We had two different guys come to us and say that they wanted to work on the Women Build house.
Okay. And did you make them wear, you know, perfume or any kind of like feminine paraphernalia to let them in, or did you not let them in?
Lipstick and pearls.
Did you not let them in?
Actually, we encourage them to volunteer on a different house because this truly is a women build.
Okay, so it's going on just all this week?
This week,
so
yeah.
It started on
Saturday and then it goes through this coming Saturday.
Okay, and you're building just the one house here right now?
Mm-hmm.
Or more than one?
Just this one house right now for women build, but we do build year-round. In this coming year, we'll have finished about 16 homes.
Right, because I was out at an event on, well... I can't even say it.
Wadmala.
That's the one island last year. I mean, that's another one of your events. How many of these things do you have year round?
It really varies, but we definitely have two that you can count. Well, three that you can count on each year. We do a Martin Luther King build, we do a women build, and we do a green build. And then some others fluctuate here and there.
Okay. So how many volunteers have you got out here today? And how many people will you have pass through during the week?
Well, there's about 30 out today. And as I said, we had 206 volunteer slots, but we've gone over that. We've had extra people show up each day. So it's a ton of local women.
Okay, let's say that I had breasts and I was really a girl, but I have no house building experience. I just got a look from Nikki there for saying that. I love that. What, could I just rock up with a hammer and go, hey, let me help? How would that work?
Yeah, each morning we start out with a roundup where we give safety instructions, and then we break them up into smaller groups with a house leader. We have 7 house leaders, and they know what they're doing. So then they teach each of the volunteers what their tasks are.
And what kind of tasks are people doing here today? Like, I see somebody with a spade, and, you know, obviously I'm saying hammer, but it's not just hammering and digging. What other stuff
goes on?
No,
they even use power tools. They use the fun stuff. So we use the saws to cut the wood, to the measurements. We have put the trusses up. They do that by hand.
Okay.
And, I mean, basically we started with just a floor system of the house. It was a bare house. They have done everything so far.
So by Friday of this week, it's going to be how much complete?
By Saturday, it will look finished from the outside and the front. The siding should be on the front half of the house, and the shingles will get started. The backside will get finished over time, and then the interior will be done later, too. But from the front, it'll look pretty complete.
Okay, so who's going to be living here? Who's the homeowner?
The homeowner It's a family, the okay. Ramirez family, and so it's Cuco and Yenny, and then they have 3 boys.
Okay. Are they here today? Are they helping out? Are they watching all? Like,
Yenny has worked here every day during Women Build, and when I told her that she had to be here at 6 a.m. this morning, today was a special day. What? Her eyes bugged out of her head, but she was here.
Why is today a special day?
Because a local radio station did their morning show here.
Oh, it's like media day.
Yeah.
Which is why we're here. Okay,
yeah.
Right, okay. Okay, so she's helping out building her own place, literally, so...
It's required. Every homeowner has to put in 200 hours on their own house.
200 hours? Mm-hmm. Hang on, that's like...
That's way more than you did for your house.
Well, I can't do them. That's at least 6 weeks of work, probably, right?
I haven't broken it down, but that's just on their house. They have to put 500 hours of volunteer time in altogether.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on, I'm just going to make my secret signal to Nick. Who's wearing out... I love your hat. I do love your hat.
It's like, oh, yeah, we're really big on safety here.
I wasn't going to ask about the safety angle. How big are you on safety here?
No, we take it to extremes because it's volunteers. We want to make sure everyone has a good time and doesn't hurt themselves. And we take it really slow. And that's why it's nice to do all women with the women's build. A little less pressure. Just ladies all getting together. It's all about having a good time and taking home a few skills. The cool thing about this year's house, actually, is that this is going to be our first Earthcraft certified women's build house.
You said Earthcraft?
Earthcraft.
Certifier?
Yeah, could certified.
Could you go into that a little bit more in depth?
Yeah. Earthcraft is a green building standard, and that basically is a point system. So we go through a checklist of different criteria, anything from site planning to waste management, indoor air quality, energy efficiency, all the green build standards. And that ensures that the house is up to a certain code, a certain level. And then we have an actual specific rater, and he comes in all through the process of the house and checks us off, makes sure our insulation's done right, makes sure our HVAC systems are working. And in the end, that gives the homeowner a more energy-efficient house with really good indoor air quality. And you can see when you came in the site, when we were driving in, you probably noticed that there weren't very many trees in the beginning.
I did.
And you get to this back section, there's lots of trees. That's because we've adopted those Earthcraft standards, and we have different site planning.
Okay. All right.
So lots of trees, lots of shade. It's a lot nicer back here.
Here's a more generic question, which is springing to my mind. I mean, how many locations around John's Island are there where these kind of things happen? I mean, is John's Island one day going to, like, run out of spots that you can go and build houses?
Well, it is still rural, and so there is land available. It's just rather pricey. But Brownswood Place is our 5th neighborhood on John's Island. So we've been doing it. We've been at it for 30 years.
Really? So what? So it was established in when?
1978.
I mean, and how did it, like, come about? Who woke up one day and went, I know, let's have a Habitat for Humanity Society. And
wow, go you see what the history.
Well, just a little bit, yeah.
Millard Fuller is the founder of Habitat for Humanity, and he envisioned this whole concept of volunteers building homes, donating money for somebody that they don't know. And then he formed an affiliate in Georgia. Sea Island Habitat is the 3rd affiliate in the world, so we're the 3rd oldest. And when they came here, there was a group of Mennonites that were tomato farmers, and they thought that they could do something more socially responsible with the land than just growing tomatoes. So they decided to use it for affordable housing. And so they partnered with Millard Fuller and got this whole thing started.
Okay, now is it just on John's Island in Charleston that this happens, or do you do work in other areas?
No, Sea Island Habitat serves technically the Sea Island, so from James Island out to Edisto Island. But in the greater Charleston area, there are 5 habitat affiliates. So there's one for downtown and North Charleston, that's called Charleston Habitat. There's East Cooper Habitat, there's Berkeley County Habitat, and Dorchester County Habitat.
Okay. All right. And what's, I mean, how far in the future do you plan your project, like plan your events, like this house that you're doing today? I mean, when was that first planned? Did you think, was it like 2 years ago or 6 weeks ago? I mean,
technically, it gets planned in our budgeting cycle for our fiscal year. We say, yes, we're going to do this or no, we're not going to. But then the committee that actually plans every detail of it started meeting back in December. So 6 months.
Okay. So you know in advance now what you've got coming up over the next 6 months to a year? Like what's next after this?
After this, we have a church build called the Faith in Action House. And so we've got lots of local churches that are involved in both fundraising and volunteering. And then we're going to have this is called the Thrivent House. It's a financial group for Lutherans, and they gave us a huge grant that basically funds the cost of a house.
Okay.
So lots of projects coming up still. We've got a golf tournament in June.
Nice. All right. Well, here's where you get to plug. What's your website?
SeaIslandHabitat.org.
.org. If people want to get involved, do they email? Do they call? What's
the
best way?
They can go to the website also. There's a button that says sign up to volunteer, and it takes care of it that way. But if you want to talk to a person over the phone, you can call us too.
And we still, the cost of our houses depends on the land and the materials, but the cost of this house is around $60,000. And we're still fundraising to actually pay for this house. So there's actually also on the website a nice big donate button. And you can dedicate the money towards Women Build.
What was that? Again, Nick, there's a nice big what button on the website?
Donate.
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 Click.
Not donut.
donate.
But yeah, so it's about $60,000.
People have been
affordable.
Really generous in donating as individuals. It's just some of the grants we've counted on in the past didn't come through this year. And I think it's just because there's less money to go around. But individuals have been giving, and we need them to keep giving.
Okay. Is there anything I haven't asked that you want to mention? I always do this at the end.
We love Women Build. We love the family this year.
Okay.
She's a hard worker.
Hang on a sec then. So, how much do you love Women Build? There we go.
I love Women Build! It's the most fun every year. Actually, Southern Living covered us last year, so
yeah.
It is
last
the
year,
event.
Last year, we built 2 houses for Women Build. This is actually our 10th Women Build house. It's our 9th annual event, though.
All right, and if I'm gonna take some photos, I have to put one of your hard hats on, right? So we'll
oh,
go.
Oh yeah. Safety first.
Okay, Krista, if you could now just lean behind you and press the stop button on that sound effects machine that's been making all the construction noises.
Because we're actually she was looking for it.
Because we're actually sat in the studio. It's all fake sound effects, people. Did you actually turn to look for this magical machine that made noises? If you could turn down the hammer and turn up the drill by 10%,
that'll be okay, that's enough.
Can we make some? Let's make some fake. Zzz, come and make some noises.
Drive it home, Jeff. Drive it home.
There we go. Oh, do that again, Chris. That was a. What was that? What instrument was that?
I think that was a tractor. That was a tractor.
Okay, and magically we'll whisk ourselves back to the studio for where we rejoin Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken. You want to say? Everybody say hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Say, Ken, you should have come out to the Women's Build.
You should have come out to Women's Build. Where are you?
Where are you at, Ken? Come on.
Terrible.
Mm.
Ladies, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
And I'm back from the Green Build. Krista and Nikki there were very keen to have you there, Ken. Where were you?
Oh, I was at John's Island at the Women's Build. John's Island, yeah.
Yeah, but you weren't there. That's what I'm saying. They were saying, where were you?
I was inside the computer.
You're there in spirit. All right, we just want to touch briefly on anything that's not even Spoleto over the next 7 days. So tell us what's going on, Ken.
Well, Bike Month is going on.
It is Bike Month. Sorry, the whole month is Bike Month.
Yes. And we have a little write-up. Actually, right now, it's a link on the top left of the page. There's all sorts of rallies.
Under What's Hot.
What's Hot. Biking is hot because it's hot out.
I still find it funny that we had the Myrtle Beach fires under What's Hot last week. I'm sorry.
It was hot. Now it's cool. Actually, I think it's still smoldering. So there's all sorts of things from, you know, kind of more political rallies to just more festive things. I think tomorrow they're doing a ladies rally in Marion Square. Is it? No, that's next weekend, actually, next Friday. If you go on there, there's all sorts of events and such.
I like this one. This is my favorite. And the Charleston River Dogs are doing a 1K. Yes, that's 1K run. Sorry, beer run on Thursday, May the 7th. Oh, that's today as well. So we'll miss it by the time this podcast has come out. Let's talk about that anyway, because that's just hilarious. The fact that it's a 1K run, including beer, I just like.
It's 0.62 miles, and they have midget wrestling afterwards. What more do you need?
The Kings of Leon are coming to town.
Right. They are. And they are coming on the 10th, which is Sunday? No, that's, I don't know, Tuesday or something like this? Sunday. Sorry, I don't have the computer actually in front of me. This is very...
You're meant to just know these things magically off the top of your head. Look, Ken, do this. I'll just make it up, right? I'll make it sound like... the Kings of Leon. Oh, I saw them back in so-and-so, and they're doing a gig next week, and I got my tickets. It's going to be really good. I got their latest album, and me and my mates, we're going to have a real good party and stuff. It's going to be awesome. See, that's a whole little sentence there without actually giving much away.
Lies. That's all I have.
Tell us about Stephen Colbert instead, then. Apparently, he's teetotal.
He's what?
Teetotal. That's a British expression meaning doesn't drink.
Really? Yeah. I hadn't heard that. He's going to give the commencement speech at MUSC on the 15th. And it's at the Horseshoe. So if you're really like a Stephen Colbert fan, even if you don't know when it's graduating, you can kind of go stand outside and watch him talk.
And I was telling the PR people at... Ken's coughing. Have you got swine flu?
I do. And now everyone in the office has it.
So. Yay. We've all been infected. I told the PR people at Splater that Stephen Colbert was come to town, and they got very excited. And they were trying to get Stephen Colbert onto the Splater window display poster judging contest, which I'm making a video of. It'll never happen, but it would be fun if we managed to get him on board the bus.
Yeah, it would. I don't expect it to happen. But it would have been fun.
Okay, looking down our list of events, pick anything you like, Ken, from the next 7 days as to what's coming up.
Oh, the Greek Festival starts on the 8th and runs through the 10th. That's Friday through Sunday. It's always a popular destination. It's Charleston Greek, the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church.
I'm going to click on the link for you so that you can read the entire details from the screen. Here we go.
But basically, it's just, you know, they have food, dancing, you can tour the church. It's just a big culture fest, and... Yeah,
we should point out you don't have to be Greek to go along. Is that correct?
No, you do not indeed. And this is on the, on Race Street, I think the church was. So, just go up and have a bit of fun with the Greek culture.
I like this one. Win $500,000 in prizes from Half Moon Outfitters if you design them a new t-shirt. What the hell is that all about?
That's actually, the contest is ending on, where's the date? On the 15th. So you only have a week left to design a t-shirt, but you can land $500. I should actually give them a call and see if they've gotten many entries.
And I just want to flip back to something about what our most commented story of the week was. What was our most commented story? I'm trying to think of that story. Edit this bit, Jeff. That was the other, which we've kind of touched on. So there we go. So all those things and more you can find out at thedigitel.com. Click on the left-hand side under resources. It says events calendar. That will take you to thedigitel.com events. You can type, it'll default to today's date, or you can look ahead to the next week or anything else. If you have anything which you want to promote for your business, for your society, for your organization, for your church, whatever, whoever the hell you are, send us an email, contact@thedigitel.com. And Ken's tapping my elbow. He wants to get in something.
Right. So as you know, on our calendar on the right are kind of everything we've been talking about. On the left, we link off to some third-party sources. Well, at the bottom of that, we've added a kind of political source that they round up all the local meetings and such in town. So if you're interested in like just keeping up on when Dorchester County is having some sort of meeting about Park or 526 meeting, all those things are on there too.
That's nice. All right, next week's podcast, because we're only doing them not on a regular basis now. We're doing them when there are events, but there are a lot of events taking place at the moment, and our next one will be from the... Mount Pleasant Farmers Market next Tuesday, I believe.
Yes, on the 12th, I think. So they're opening up. Their construction project is done, and we will be podcasting from there.
So if you're in the vicinity, come by and wave at us and, you know, pull silly faces at the digital staff and meet us and greet us in person. That's amazing. It's that. That is it for another week. Thanks very much, Ken Hawkins.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Say bye, Ken.
No.
Till next time.
You've been listening to the DigiCast, the podcast from thedigitel.com. For news and entertainment that's pure Charleston, check out thedigitel.com. The DigiCast is copyright 2009, thedigitel.com.